forward? How are we to function as his bride? Most people desire community, but are all too often unwilling to give up their independence. We're American, after all, right? We desire community, but most often end up wanting autonomy more. The Corinthian church had brought into the church the hierarchy, the classism, the racism, and the sexual deviance of their culture in which they lived. Things are not much different today as we look at the scripture. Our scripture today is a call to understand what the body of Christ is all about, what Christ's church is all about. The body of Christ is a place where every individual, every person in this room has something to bring to the table. Yet each member corporately depends on the other in a harmonious way. It's a mystery. This can only work if every member has their identity tied with Jesus Christ. If the members of Christ's body have their identity in Jesus, the result will be a word called interdependence on one another. Webster's defines that as mutual dependence and mutually dependent relationship. So the difference between codependence or dependence, it means you just totally rely on another person. But interdependence means that it's mutual, that we rely on one another with our identity grounded in Jesus Christ. Christ only has one body, but it is made up of many members who need each other desperately, because every member has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. So I want to read those verses beginning in verse 12. Beginning in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Remember that word, God has so composed, that phrase. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. What a beautiful passage of scripture with an illustration. And so as we launch into this, first of all, in verse 12, he makes that statement, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And so when we look at the church and what the church is, the members, the body of Christ is one body with many members. And we need to remember that. And a lot of times it's easy for us to forget that. We think, well, church is just the building or the place where we gather. That's not church. The church is the group of people that are one body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ. But here's the thing. Each of us has and maintains their individual identity. And that's the difference between interdependence and codependence. Codependence means you rely totally on someone else and their identity becomes your identity. Or you might have an abusive relationship between a husband and wife, and the wife just kind of caves into the husband, or the husband caves into the wife, and their identity is just swallowed up into that. It's not the case in the body of Christ. We're mutually independent, but we're dependent on one another. We're mutually dependent on one another. So we have and maintain our individual identity, as we're going to see as we unpack that. But here's the part that is hard for us to remember, is that the members of the body of Christ in their function corporately. So what would happen if all of you said, well, we're going to talk about outreach this week, and so Tanya has an idea for outreach, and then she says, well, I think we should have luncheons in the parking lot. And then Gary comes up with an idea and says, well, I think that we should stand on the side of Big Lots and greet people and hand out tracts. But here's the thing. It would be chaos if all of our ideas or all of our opinions had to be put into place. And the problem is sometimes when our ideas don't get accepted in the body, we get angry, or we might say, well, they're not going to. But here's the thing. Here's the call in the body of Christ. We function together and we come together to pray and say, God, what do you want us to do? We have all these great ideas. You've spoken to us. Would you give us confirmation? And that's the importance of making God's church a house of prayer, is that we function together with that corporate identity. It's no longer about my family. It's no longer about my favorite group of people over here, or the people that I might feel most comfortable with or relate to the best, but it's the whole body I identify with. I take my identity in the corporate sense. See, the church is not just a collection of individuals making separate decisions. It's not a democracy. He says it's a body. I mean, your body does not, a hand doesn't have a protest and say, well, you know what? I think we need to go over here. And the mind says, that's not a good idea to go over there. The stove is hot. Don't touch that. And so the church is not a democracy. It's a body. Now, imagine, have any of you ever stubbed your toe ever? I think all of us probably have at some point. But what happens when you stub your toe? Your toe is the only thing hurting, right? No, your whole body goes into action. You grab it. You're like, oh, your voice speaks. You think things in your mind. You maybe say things that you shouldn't say. But it's the same thing with the body of Christ. When the body of Christ reacts, we react as one together. When somebody gets hurt, when one part of the body is hurting, we all hurt. When one party of the body of Christ is excelling and it's successful, we all rejoice. It is this concept that we're members of the body of Christ. We function with corporate identity. But number two, as we come into verse 13, he talks about what makes the body of Christ exist. So Christ Community Church does not exist because we're given a building and we said at 10:45 we're going to meet at this place and at this time. That's not how God made his church. He made his church by people who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he calls this spirit baptism. They're baptized by the Holy Spirit. They're placed spiritually in the body of Christ. And that's what he says in verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. One spirit. You know, if you're saved, you have the same Holy Spirit that I have. And so you wonder what happens in the church, in the body of Jesus Christ, when we might have some different ideas or divisions or things that might come about. Somebody, somewhere, and perhaps it's all of us at some point, is resisting and quenching the Holy Spirit. I've done it many times myself. Well, we just need to do it like, and I'm thinking in the flesh, and I said, this makes sense. This is how we need to get things done. And then I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit that I have, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And so when we learn to pray, and you know what? I would encourage you to pray, Lord, baptize me with your Holy Spirit and fire. And when Jesus talked about that, that not only does that happen at salvation, but it's a continual process of sanctification, of being surrendered to the Holy Spirit, of letting him call the shots in my life. Every member is baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Every true believer is. Now, some people might have a different spirit than the Holy Spirit, and that causes division. But it's mostly because we resist the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit share the same kind of membership in the body of Christ, regardless of race or social status. Well, you know, I didn't go to Bible school, and I don't sing like the worship team sings. But he says, we're all baptized. He says, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. He basically say, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter of how good of a person that you think that you are, regardless of what your reputation is. When Jesus saves a soul by his grace, he says, you're mine, you're my body, and you are part of the body of Christ, and you're all on the same playing field. Every single one of us in here, doesn't matter what our role, our position in God's church, or what ministry God has called us to do, every single one of us in here, we have the same Holy Spirit. We're part of the same body. Every member of the body of Christ has the same Spirit living inside. He's the one that unites us. And so I want to encourage you in these coming weeks, just begin to pray, Holy Spirit, have your way. It's a daily surrender. Holy Spirit, have your way in my heart. Holy Spirit, guide my prayer life. Because sometimes some of the things that we pray are against God's will and they're rebellious or they're wrong because we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in my heart. Kill my flesh. Kill my pride. Kill my own agenda. Have your way in my life. And that leads us to verse 14 to 20 when he begins to unpack this idea that the body of Christ is certainly made up of members, of every members. And you notice he says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And so have you ever said, well, I don't think they really need me in the church. That's like what verse 15 says. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I don't need to be a part of the church. I can just kind of sit back and coast easy, settle in my little indentations in the seats. It was great to watch. I'm glad that you're all together today, but it was great to watch that you were all searching for something that looked similar to the way the setup of the sanctuary was a couple of weeks ago. You're wandering around. Where's my chair? And most of you have sat in the same general spots, even with the extra chairs on the other side, but they're together now. I don't know why. But I want you to know that as he unpacks this, each member is unique. Every part of your body is a unique part. Have you ever just sat and looked at your hands and how they move and work? And it's like, wow, that's amazing. What God has created. And that is the beauty of the body of Christ. Each member is unique. Each member belongs. And each member has a very essential role. And here's the thing. As humans, we fear being dispensable. Right? If you're like me and if you operate and you have a human nature, We fear being dispensable and not being independent and having things our individual way. So here's the irony of it all. Many people often move around to different communities seeking to belong. But I want you to know, if you have the Holy Spirit, you are Christ's body. You fit in wherever you are in Christ's church, wherever Christ brings you, you belong. You don't have to conjure anything up or make anything happen. You are the body of Christ. And you know, this truth about the fact that each member has a unique role, that each member belongs, that each member is essential, it should eradicate all consumerism in the body of Christ. Christ Church is not a shopping mall where there is an endless search for what fulfills my needs, but it is a people with the Holy Spirit who seek to glorify Christ over their own reputation or what they think they need. Wow, that cuts to the heart, doesn't it? We want our own reputation. We have our own needs. But the body of Christ is not a shopping mall. It's where God puts us. It's where he puts us to glorify Christ, because we're Christ's body. But the moment we become my church or my body or my family, the very moment it steps into that, consumerism pervades. The church is for Christ, not for me and my own preferences. The church of Jesus Christ is not a commodity to consume, nor are any of us as members usable commodities. Let that shape how we do church. None of us in here are usable commodities. The church is not a commodity to consume. Jesus, the Son of God, is the one that we consume. When he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, you must identify with me, you must feast on me. And that is where our identity comes from. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment if your body was made of all elbows or hands or eyes, what that would perhaps look like. I was going to say that one of the faces on the feet looks like John Perdue, but he's not here today. But isn't that ridiculous? A lot of times we function as the body of Christ like this. All we need is the hands. Or we just need the eyeballs to see what's going on. Or we just need the feet to go out and share the gospel. We need the whole body. And it is so awkward and ridiculous to think about what that would be like. And that's what he was getting at in this passage. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. Oh, it would be so miserable if you all were just a pile of eyeballs. Aren't you glad God didn't make us that way? Or we're all just a bunch of stinky feet? The body of Christ is made up of many members. And that leads us to verses 21 to 26. The body of Christ members absolutely need one another. The members are interdependent on one another. Every member is indispensable. Every member should be honored and cared for. Those that are weaker seem small and insignificant are treated with greater honor to compensate. Now he starts off with verse 21 saying, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. That would, imagine what that would be like. I don't need you, hand. She doesn't want us saying he touched me. The eye looks at the hand and says, I don't need you. Right? And the leg says to this hand, I don't need you. And the eyeballs say, I don't need the nose. The ear says to the eye, I don't need the eyes. The stomach says to the leg, I don't need the leg. The other leg, I don't need you either. I don't need you feet. Pretty soon we're just this pile of nothing. And yet we operate in the body of Christ. Oh, I shouldn't get down like that now, so you can turn 50. There's a cracking and a popping. You see, we lack interdependence when people are viewed as disposable or replaceable or should be abandoned. Human nature leads us to guard against this by overinflating our view of ourselves. We think, I'm the only one who is indispensable while the others are dispensable. I'm the only one who's spiritual and mature. I'm the only one that can see things and operate in wisdom. I'm the only one that can save the church. Have you ever had those thoughts before? Don't answer out loud. We lack interdependence when we're consumed with self-protection and self-care rather than relating to what others are going through. You notice when he goes through that verse and he comes down to verse 24 at the end, he says, but God has so composed the body, given greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division, but that the members may have the same care to one another. And as we go back up to verse 18, he also emphasizes again, but as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as Pastor Mike decided. Or if I have decided, or you have decided, but as God chose. As God chose. And then he says in verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Every member is indispensable in the body of Christ, in his economy. Every member should be honored and cared for. Those that are weaker or seem small and insignificant are treated with greater honor. Now think about this. This is a quote by a commentator, pastor. If an individual is all about self-care rather than mutual care, his gifts become a means of distinguishing and advancing himself rather than advancing the interests of others. Think about that for a moment. If we're consumed with self-care or what makes me happy or I'm have that shopping mentality, my gifts become a means of distinguishing and advancing myself rather than advancing the interests of other people. You know, and when we come to this last part, all the members that are weaker, smaller, you know, when you see stuff, dust flying in the air, you don't usually go like this, right? Where do you go first? The little tiny eyes. That's what he's talking about there. In the body of Christ, when someone's struggling or someone is suffering or someone seems to be a smaller part or the more intricate part of the body of Christ, you give that part greater honor. And in fact, he says God does that. Jesus does that. I want to think about a moment, a hospital. Many of you have been to a hospital, right? So imagine you say, well, I'm going to the hospital and there's doctors there, right? And you're like, okay, everything's going to run smoothly with just the doctors there. Think again. You go to these big buildings, there's the janitor that has to take care of the HVAC system. There's somebody that needs to clean the floors and mop the germs away. There's a nurse that needs to assist the doctor and care for patients. All these moving parts, but without one of them, a hospital, you would rate it as a bad hospital, right? Now think about this. The church cannot go without you. The church has all these moving parts, but it cannot go without you. And even a further illustration, you see, when one part of your body gets injured, like the back or the legs or the arms, compensate to make up for your injured back. You'll never find the arms and the legs protesting and saying, You should have worked out at the gym. I'm not helping. Back. You should have been stronger. Right? Our body doesn't do that. We get a hurt back, and we're going like this. We're using other hand to lean on stuff. We're using our feet to walk around and sit, find a place to sit. But if the hand were to say, I'm leaving, you should have worked out. Then I don't have any way to hold myself up with my back. It's the beauty of the body of Christ. Each member is so vital, is so important in the body of Christ. We must need each other and be dependent on one another. The body of Christ is interdependent. You see, if one member suffers, all suffer together. And as we conclude today, we look at verse 27 and it wraps everything up. He says in verse 27, now you, think of it, take that personally today. I don't normally try to talk in you terms, but today we can. You are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Who are you? What is this? You see, the body of Christ is not my church. It is not my church family. I've even used those phrases and terms myself. But if we're going to grow and become interdependent on one another and grow in unity and surrender and submit to the Holy Spirit, that terminology has to go, and it has to be, I'm Christ's church. I'm here to glorify Him. I'm Christ's family. This is Christ's family. I'm here to take care of Christ's family and care for them. You are the body of Christ together with other believers. And you are an individual member of the body. And I want to go back to that concept of Christ composes His body. We cannot build our own identity. We're obsessed with building our own identities. Do you remember back in the day, perhaps, how many of you had some dates before you got married? We don't have arranged marriages, right? What did you do on some of those dates? Did you just show up haphazard? Oh, yeah, this is cool. We're going out. No, I mean, you were nervous. You made sure you dressed. You were in the mirror for hours combing. Oh, no, I'm just having a bad hair day. And we're just worried about when we go, and then we sit down and we put our best foot forward and we fake it to impress. And then we get married and we find out how fake that was. But here's the thing. In the body of Christ, it is not a transactional thing where we have to create our own identity and make it happen. It's covenantal. It's relationship based. It's not a transaction that, oh, we're here to impress one another. We're here to look good or care about our own reputation. But it's covenantal. I have the Holy Spirit. They have the same Holy Spirit. We're together as one body. That's all there is to it. Christ composes His body. We cannot build our own identity. And as we think about this today and how it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ, becoming an interdependent church is rooted in the gospel. Think about this. Christ views sinners as indispensable. And He became dispensable in our place. When Jesus looked at that woman and said, I don't condemn you, when they were getting ready to stone her, He says, go and sin no more. He viewed that sinner as indispensable. You're my body. and I'm going to become dispensable so that you can be indispensable. I'm going to give my life on the cross in your place. And when we center around that grace, that leads us to become interdependent on one another, because we realize that we were all sinners made indispensable by Christ himself, only by his grace. And that salvation in Christ also, number two, it gives us our identity and our composition, and it eradicates the need for a self-identity. Suddenly, it doesn't matter what people think of us anymore. It doesn't matter that when we got up to sing, we messed things up a little bit. Or when we preached, we stumbled with our words. Or when we do our ministry, things just didn't go the way they... It doesn't. None of that matters anymore, because our identity is Jesus, and he builds his church. And he built me. He built you. He put us together for the glory and the kingdom of God. And I want to invite the worship team to come today. As we close, remember these things from this passage of Scripture. The body of Christ is one body with many members. Beautiful. The body of Christ is birthed by the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ is made up of many unique members that are essential. The body of Christ members need one another. They're not needy, but they need one another mutually. The body of Christ belongs to Jesus alone. So as we come to sing this last song, it may be in your heart today, or perhaps just breathe up a little prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm surrendering that notion that this is my church or my church family. Jesus, we belong to you. We're your body. You will build it as you see fit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for your grace in our lives that is so extravagant that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. You rose again from the grave, filled us with the Holy Spirit, forming your church. And Holy Spirit, I ask today at Christ Community Church, where we're gathered together in covenant with one another, Lord, forgive us for making it about ourselves. Forgive us for making it about commotion. Forgive us for making it about our desires. Lord, we want it to be about you. We want to come in here and be enthralled with you, Jesus. As David prayed, as one thing I desire, and that is to behold the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life. Lord, that you would consume us with this desire to behold your beauty and glory. Thank you, Jesus, for making us your body. And I pray that you'd encourage your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you'll stand with us. We just confess our need for him.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer?